them at Luke 2 as we look at this passage tonight. So we're in the days just after Christmas, where we've been thinking about the birth of that very special child born into this world. But when babies are born, there's often a number of formalities that need to take place, especially in those early days after the birth. In the excitement, some of those formalities can often be forgotten about. Things like maybe registering the birth of the child. Thankfully, we didn't forget that, and we were on the ball. But did you know that it was necessary for every child in the UK to be registered and to be given a forename and a surname within 42 days of the birth? If not, you get a fine or maybe even worse. I remember how daunting it was filling out those forms as you made sure you had the right dates, the right spelling of the names that were given, and that was what they were going to be known for the rest of their life. In terms of the law of the land, this is a must. Each child is given that specific identity. Within the Presbyterian Church, another important aspect in those early months of a child's life for Christian parents is that that baby is presented for baptism. As that sign and seal is administered in the name of the Trinity, that child is brought into membership of the visible church. The parents and the congregation make vows to bring up that child in the ways of the Lord. As Presbyterians, we believe that has been faithful to God's word, to follow his instruction as we welcome children into this covenant family. See, as Christians, we want to be people who follow the law. We want to live by God's word. We want to put it into practice. And we see here that Mary and Joseph wanted to do the same. They knew the time frame in which they were to carry out certain customs according to the law of God. And even though they knew this was the child who was called the Son of the Most High, they were told he was Emmanuel, God with us. They were told he was to be the Savior. Even though they were told all these things about this child, they didn't think that he was exempt from following the customs of God's law. See, Joseph and Mary were people who wanted to follow God's instruction to live it out in their lives. Remember when the angel appeared to Joseph, he was described as a righteous man. Likewise, when Mary was told of her pregnancy, she declared, "I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This was a couple that sought to live out God's word in their life. And we see here that they wanted to bring up this child in the same way, this boy that was born of Mary. And even from his early days, we see that God's law was fulfilled in Jesus' life. Luke draws our attention to the law a number of times here. He talks about according to the law, as it is written in the law, according to the custom of the law. Time and time again, we see this. And then in verse 39, where it says, "When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth." It's a bit like whenever you're sent into the town, maybe to do a few messages, you're given a list of things that you're told to go and do, and you need to make sure you do them that day. You have a time period to do it. You daren't come home until you've ticked off everything on that list. Well, Mary and Joseph knew that they had a number of important things to do, and they weren't going home until they had completed everything that was necessary. Top of their list was to ensure that this baby boy was circumcised on the eighth day, as we see in verse 21, and given that name officially, that name Jesus. Also, an agenda was to go up to the temple and offer a sacrifice for the purification. They couldn't do this before 40 days because, according to the law, the woman was seen as unclean after giving birth for that period of time. People usually would have brought a lamb for a sacrifice, but two pigeons were also acceptable if they couldn't afford a lamb. And that was the case for Mary and Joseph, and Luke indicates that's okay. But as we think about this idea of circumcision, it's something that's maybe a bit foreign to us here in North Antrim. It's not something that's maybe commonly practiced. Is done quite regularly in other parts of the world. It can be done at any age. But experts would say that for traditional methods, 7 to 8 days is actually the best time to perform this act. But Mary and Joseph aren't going on medical grounds here, are they? They're not weighing up these things and thinking, well, this is the best time to do it. No, they're doing it because it was instructed in the law of Moses, as it says there. I read from Genesis 17 earlier, and there God had told Abraham that this circumcision would be a sign of the covenant between them. And he was told that it was to be carried out on boys at 8 days old. See, this was a sign and a seal of children being brought into this covenant family where they would be brought up under the instruction of God's word. You see, Joseph and Mary knew this. They knew the law of God. And they knew the seriousness of what it meant if they disobeyed this law. Because they would have known what had happened when Moses disobeyed God all those years before. In Exodus 4, Moses was almost put to death by God because he failed to circumcise his own son. The one who was given the commandments failed to live up to that. See, God's instruction for how we should live is not to be taken lightly. Too often, though, we can be quick to turn a blind eye to certain things in the Bible. We maybe say, well, you know, that's not a gospel issue. It's not really important. That's a secondary issue. We'll just forget about that. Haven't we been looking at the Ten Commandments in the mornings? And I know it's been a challenge to myself and to many of you. How many people think that it doesn't really matter if we live out those commandments? Sure, it doesn't matter if we put other things before God. It doesn't matter how we speak about God or the way we use our words. It doesn't really matter if I treat my parents that well, does it? Sure, God's grace is all that matters. It overrules all of these things. Well, Paul brings the challenge to that attitude in Romans 6, where he says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. So we must not push God's law to the side. If you're a Christian, yes, you are saved by God's grace. But by God's grace, we continue to seek to live out that word of God in our lives. Of course, we can't live out that word perfectly. We can't, because we all fail every day in some way or the other. None of us are perfect. Even the great Moses, who led God's people out of slavery in Egypt, was almost put to death because he disobeyed God's law. Great people like Noah, remember how he got drunk and he exposed himself? Remember how Abraham lied about who his wife was before the people? Remember how King David, the one who is said to be a man after God's own heart, he committed adultery. He had a man killed for that. See, no one in all of history has been able to perfectly obey God's law. That is until this baby boy came along, because Jesus was different. And Luke emphasizes time and time again that Joseph and Mary were acting according to the law of God. Because you see, as they presented Jesus for circumcision and offered up that sacrifice, it was a sign that Jesus would be the one who would ultimately, perfectly fulfill these customs. We read in Matthew 5 where Jesus later said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. See, even from the earliest days of Jesus' life, everything about him fulfilled the law of God. And this was crucial. This wasn't some wee thing that Luke just added in here. This was central. It was so important because he had to obey the law fully. He had to live that perfect life. He had to do that if he was going to be the one who would save his people from their sins. Remember, Matthew was told that when he was Joseph was told that in Matthew 1, where he was given that name Jesus, that he would save his people from their sins. See, this was the purpose for which Jesus came into the world. This was why he came. Although verse 24 tells us that Joseph and Mary could only offer a couple of young pigeons, they were raising the child who would one day be offered up as that perfect Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice that would redeem his people. As he fully identified with humanity and perfectly lived out that law, the blood that was shed in his circumcision, the blood that was offered up in that sacrifice, pointed to his blood that would be shed on the cross, where ultimately he would atone for the sin of his people. Yet how many people recognize that this is why Jesus came? How many people in our world recognize that he is the Son of God who came to save people and the one who came and fulfilled this law of God perfectly? See, many people don't recognize it, do they? And this struck me as I went into a shop on the way home this past week, and I saw a girl walking in front of me, and I didn't recognize her at all, but then I saw a man I did know, and he came over and he was chatting to me, and then he called this girl over, and it was his daughter. And he called her by name, and I couldn't believe it. I hadn't seen her since she was a child, and now she was grown up. I didn't recognize her at all. I just didn't know her. You see, as Jesus would grow up, there's many people that wouldn't recognize who he was. Many people wouldn't recognize why he had to come into this world. Many people today continue to fail to see the importance of who Christ is and what he came to do. Even with the full picture of the gospel that we have in God's word, people still don't accept it. They still don't understand the purpose of which Christ came for. Maybe that describes you still here tonight. Maybe you still don't truly know Jesus. You still can't truly say that you have grasped the reason why he has come, because your life still hasn't been changed by him. Maybe tonight you will come to recognize Christ and know the fullness that he has to offer. Well, this was the case with Simeon. He certainly recognized who Jesus was. We're introduced to him in verse 25. And as he was led by the Spirit, he recognized the significance of this child. And he was overjoyed. He was delighted. And we see here that he could even die in peace knowing that he had embraced the Savior. Every now and again, I get an important little letter. It comes in through the post. And as I open it up, it's the same old thing. It's an old pension policy that I had when I was an engineer. But it tells you how much you're going to get when you retire. It's not very much, and I'm not depending on it too much. But many people put their hope into a future pension plan. They have these dreams of what life will be like. They look forward to this comfort that it's going to bring, this wonderful life that they might enjoy. So often that isn't the reality. And so many are disappointed because they've put their hope in the wrong place. They aren't waiting on the one who brings true peace, true comfort, true joy. Lord Jesus. See, it seems like Simeon has been waiting for a long time. He's approaching the end of his life here. He's described as a righteous and a devout man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That word consolation can also be translated as comfort. But this isn't the sort of comfort you might get if you had a lovely pension plan at the end of the life. The comfort he was waiting for was on the promised Savior, the one who would bring that ultimate peace to Israel and, in fact, to all nations. See, many people had been waiting on this Messiah. Many had been looking forward to him. But Simeon truly knew why this Messiah had to come. He wasn't waiting for him to come and bring political freedom or to ride in on some big white horse to save the day, like some people thought. No, he was led by the Holy Spirit. He knew the scriptures. He knew the reason why this child had come. But it's interesting here that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So often we think that the Holy Spirit only came at Pentecost. And it's a good reminder here that the Holy Spirit was at work all through the Old Testament, all through history, as he spoke to the prophets of old through that period. And although they didn't have the fullness of the Spirit that we have today since Christ's ascension, the Holy Spirit was still at work. And we're told in verse 26, look what it says, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This man Simeon was a great prophet who obviously knew about Christ. He knew his scriptures. He knew what was told about this person. And so as the Holy Spirit spoke and led him and guided him, he knew. He was told so clearly that he would see this Savior before he would die. What a great promise that was to hold on to. We're not told when it was revealed to him that he would see this Savior. But even into his old age, he was holding on to this great hope of a coming Savior. And day by day, he continued to worship God in the anticipation of this hope that was to come, that he would see the Savior with his very own eyes. And so came that day when, by the Spirit, he was led to go to the temple. It wasn't a moment too soon, nor a moment too late. But this time would be different from all those times he had gone to the temple before. Because it was at this precise moment that Joseph and Mary appeared in with this baby Jesus, where they had come to fulfill the requirements of the law. And so Simeon, he picked up this baby in his arms, as I'm sure he had done with many other babies many times before. But this was different. This was different from anything before, because he knew instantly in that moment, this was the moment he had been waiting for. But it's not like there was some sort of halo around Jesus' head. You know, when some of the pictures that you see, there's this bright shining light. It's not that there was some sort of name tattooed across his forehead to identify him. So how does Simeon know for sure that this was the child he was waiting for? Well, it seems very clearly that he was led by the Holy Spirit. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit to Simeon who this baby was in his arms. That this child was the consolation of Israel. This child was the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the one that he had been waiting on. And so he praises God. He is overjoyed. He is delighted. And he sings this well-known song known as Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for now dismiss. What a wonderful moment this is for this old man Simeon. He'd been waiting for so long for this child to come, the one who would come to fulfill the law of God perfectly. And there he was holding him in his arms, gazing into the eyes of the one who would bring peace, not only for him, but for people from all nations. And so he declares in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Many people say they could depart in peace if they lived a long life. Many people say they could depart in peace, well, you know, if I have some sort of legacy to pass on to my children. People say they could depart in peace, well, if I lived to see my grandchildren grow up, maybe if I lived to see them get married, I could be happy with that. I could die peacefully. I could know that everything was okay. There's many people hold on to things into their old age, thinking that they will bring them peace. But the only way we can depart from this world with true and lasting peace is by coming to know the Savior, to embrace Jesus as Simeon did, knowing who he is and knowing what he came to accomplish for us. It's interesting that Simeon was happy to leave the scene at that moment in time, wasn't he? He had embraced the Savior. He was happy to go and be with the Lord. He didn't need to see Jesus go on that journey to the cross. He didn't need to see Jesus fulfill the rest of that mission, because he knew that what God had said would happen would happen. He believed God's word, as we see in verse 9, as he mentions God's word. He had witnessed how God's plans had been fulfilled up to this point in time, and so he knew God would complete that work that he had begun. Because what God says is as good as done, isn't it, when he says it? But I wonder, do you have that same confidence as Simeon tonight? I wonder, are you ready to depart this life in peace? Not because we've reached some milestone in our life, not because we have ticked a few boxes. But you can depart in peace because you know that the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. You know that you have received that new life, a changed life where you have come to profess faith in Jesus Christ. You have been saved by him, and you know that everlasting peace. We aren't able to hold the baby Jesus in our arms as Simeon did, but we can truly embrace him tonight as the Holy Spirit works in us, as he unites us to Christ and brings us into God's presence. Surely that makes us want to sing and to rejoice just like Simeon did tonight. Because if that is the case, like Simeon, we can say our eyes have seen your salvation. I wonder, are you rejoicing in that truth tonight? Can you go home and sleep in peace tonight, knowing that if you were never to waken up from that sleep, you would be with the Lord and in his eternal presence? What a great comfort it is to know that with all certainty tonight. I know I wouldn't want to go to sleep tonight if that wasn't the case in my life. See, one way or the other, we must respond to this message, because this message of God's word and what we have heard about Christ brings a response. It must bring a response. When we've heard that we can't keep the law of God perfectly, that we have failed to live it out, but yet we have heard that there is one who has perfectly kept it, one who has fulfilled the law in every aspect, the one who was perfectly obedient as he went to be the ultimate sacrifice, where he gave up his life and brought about that peace between us and God through his shed blood. Can you imagine how much this must have been for Mary and Joseph to take in? As they heard all of these things in these early days of Jesus' life, it must have been so much to contemplate. They had come to fulfill what was required in the law. They knew what the angels had told them about this boy. They had heard these things explained by this old man Simeon. And look what it says there. They marveled at what was said about Jesus. They marveled at it. Their response was one of amazement, one of wonder. I wonder, do you come tonight? Are you full of amazement and wonder at what we hear about Jesus? We're also told here about this woman, Anna, a prophetess who was clearly known among the people. She was someone who was in the temple daily. She had been widowed after only 7 years, but she devoted herself to worshiping God daily at the temple. Like Simeon, she was at a good old age, waiting for this Savior to come. We're told that she's now 84 before she saw the Savior in the flesh. But look at her response. Look at how she responded in verse 38. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph marveled and wondered. Her response was one of thanks to God, because she had seen an answer to her prayers right in front of her. She had come to know the salvation of God in her life, and she was so thankful for all that God had done, and she couldn't keep that to herself. She wanted to tell others. She had to tell others as she marveled at this baby boy, the Son of God, who perfectly fulfilled the law of God to bring salvation to the nations. As she heard these things, as she saw them with her own eyes, she had to go out and tell others. She told others because she knew this was the only way that people could know this peace with God. She had to tell others because this was the only way that people could be redeemed. See, if we have come to know Christ, if we have personally known that work of God in our life, if he has saved us by his Spirit, then surely we must tell others. Surely we must continue to spread that good news as we marvel at who Christ is and what he has done for us. This is wonderful good news that must be shared. It is a great joy to hold a baby in your arms, but it's an even greater joy to embrace Christ as Savior and Lord, to know that peace in your life, to know that wonderful life that has been given as the Spirit has worked in you. I wonder, can you go out from here tonight? Can you depart in peace? Can you go to sleep tonight knowing that you are right with your Lord and you have come to receive this wonderful good news of our Savior this Christmas? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the instruction and how it shows us where to live our lives. Yet, Lord, we realize that we fail to live that out day by day. We so often go our own way. Yet, Lord, we realize that there was one who came, who perfectly was obedient, the one who fulfilled your law in every way. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that even from his early days, that he perfectly was obedient, that he fulfilled the law in every manner and respect. We thank you that he went all the way to the cross, where he became that perfect atoning sacrifice for our sin. And we thank you and praise you that when we come to know that in our lives, as your Holy Spirit works in us, that we can rejoice. We can know that peace. We can know that new life that is found only in Jesus. Lord, may we be able to say tonight that we can depart this life in peace because we have come to see that salvation in our own lives. We've come to receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord, may none of us leave here tonight without that assurance in our lives. May we go out rejoicing, beholding our Savior, and proclaiming his wonderful name to all those that we meet. Lord, help us to do that in the days that lie ahead and into the new year. In Jesus' name we pray.